In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. There's a man I know whose family tree looks more like a twisted tumbleweed. He's had more than a few wives and more than a few women on the side. His family is a mess of different kids from different women. And as you might imagine, they don't exactly get along. In fact, that's an understatement. This goes way back, but unbeknownst to Dad, a son of his from one marriage raped a daughter of his from another marriage. When Dad found out later, he didn't do much about it. Father of the year, he was not. And so another of the man's sons, brother of the raped girl, had his rapist stepbrother murdered by hitmen at a family party. Dysfunctional family? This family is the definition of it. In fact, what I've said so far doesn't scratch the surface. But chances are you already know that, because the father of this family is named David, as in King David. His wives and children are too many to name here. A family full of dirty secrets, heartbreak, and messed up lives. And so this Advent season, as Christmas approaches, when you hear those folks welcoming Jesus into Jerusalem, shouting, "Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David," and when you hear those stately sounding words from St. Luke of the house and line of David, just keep in mind what this kingdom, what this house and line of David was really like. For when God chose a family of the earth to be born into, he didn't choose the Cleaver family. He chose the Kardashians. No, in fact, the Kardashian family looks downright wholesome when compared to the house and line of David. No reality TV for David's family, just plain old reality in all its ugliness. A family of unfaithfulness and betrayal, grudge and anger, tears and more tears. It is this family that God chooses to be born into. Son of David, he is called. And David's messed up family are the folks Jesus would find on Ancestry.com. The question is why? Why would God choose to be born into a family like this? Or maybe honestly, you don't really have the capacity to care. Maybe you've got enough to think about, enough to worry about when it comes to your own family, especially this time of the year. Pressures increase, expectations increase, schedules become even more unmanageable. Christmas lights can cheer us, but they can also cast light on what we've lost. Holiday meals can remind us of happier times gone by, and rich food in the mouth clashes with bitter food for the soul. This time of year is a time for family, so it's also time where new hurts are made and where old hurts are revisited, where absence, estrangement, and loss are deeply felt. Empty house, or empty chair. Ironically, there's nothing like a season of joy and happiness and family to show us exactly where our lives and our families are full of hurt. What we need then is to turn down the volume on those holiday songs that make our hearts yearn for what life should be like, and turn up the volume on those voices from Jerusalem that hail the coming Christ and the kingdom of David. For with that name, David, we hear not what the world is supposed to be like, but what the world is really like. We hear what kind of family God chooses for himself. We begin to discover more deeply who God really is. If Christ is not ashamed to come from David's family, and Christ is not ashamed to come into your own. He comes, born into one of the most messed up families the world has ever known, so that no family, not even yours, would be below his dignity or outside of his salvation. This is the way of his coming, the way of his advent. You may not believe it. You may even find the whole thing quite below the majesty of God. But the truth is, God himself becomes a son of David, a son of a family of many sins and many tears, so that he might become as you are before making you as he is. He does not come to us in a way that fixes everything immediately. Rather, he comes to us in the present tense, and he comes to us continually. He advents into our pain and sorrow so that he might wipe away every tear from our eyes and then wipe them all away again. He chooses to be born of a completely dysfunctional family line, one that stretches back even further than David, all the way back to that first family evicted from Eden. Perhaps he could just snap his fingers and save us all in a superficial way. But instead, he chooses to be made like us in every way, so that he might be merciful to us, the pastor and bishop of our souls. Which means he is with you, even when so-called friends and family have turned their backs. He knows you, even if you no longer know yourself. And he becomes like you in every way, yet sinless in himself, so that he might mirror your sins and shortcomings with his own righteousness and fulfill your righteousness in every way, then lay down his own innocent life so that he might take up your life in his compassionate hands. This is why he becomes the son of David, the son of a sinful line and sinful house, so that he might be a savior to every line and every house and bring us all with him into his father's line, into his father's house. And here's the thing about God. Blood is thicker than water. Whatever that saying might mean to us, this is what it means to him. No matter what, you are always his son. You are always his daughter. When you've put your heart and soul into something, only to have it turn to nothing before your very eyes. When you've sinned and made so many stupid mistakes that there's nothing left to do but reap what you've sown. When you've screamed into the darkness and spit into the mirror. When you've damned the day you were born and damned the family you were born into. When your lips go through the praise, but your heart is no longer on speaking terms with God. Even so, and even still, you have a God who loves you. A God whose fatherly heart rushes to embrace you. Unclean though you be, he wraps his arms around you, clean robes around you, and prepares a feast. Like a father with his little child, he's big enough to handle your screams, your harshest words of hate. Kick and yell at him all you will, he's strong enough to keep you safely in his arms. Do you think that he went to hell and back on the cross for you just to give up on you now? No, the blood he sheds for you is thicker than water. So today, this first Sunday in Advent, join with all his blood-bought family. Sing with those voices of Jerusalem. Sing with those voices of the church. Sing the Sanctus. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Look up and see in his cross your new family tree. For today he comes to you. Today he advents to you. Receive from him his blood, poured out for you on the cross and poured out for you now into your lips for the forgiveness of all your sins. Receive from him his body, given for you freely on the cross and given to you freely now. His flesh and blood he gives, so that you are now flesh and blood with him. A member of the house and line of his Father, children of his Father, now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.